You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast for Tuesday, January 12th, 2021. I'm your host, John B. from gangrenenation.com. And if you're new to this show, this is a daily podcast covering the New York Jets. Throughout the season and most of the offseason, we post episodes Monday through Friday. And if you'd like to hear them each day, please subscribe to this where podcasts are found. We will deliver new episodes to you as they are posted. And also leave this show a good review if you like it. On today's show, we are going to talk about the Jets coaching search. Things seem to be progressing. The Jets seem to have completed their first round of interviews. Second round interviews are going to begin shortly. And there was a development in the NFL yesterday that could have an impact on the Jets coaching search. And it was out of Philadelphia, where Eagles coach Doug Peterson was fired. And the Eagles took their time firing Peterson because it's been over a week since the end of the 2021 regular season. This led to a full-scale freakout in the Jets fan base for reasons I'm not sure I entirely understand. Now, many in the media pointed out that Peterson has worked with Joe Douglas in the past. Of course, Joe Douglas was the second in command in the Eagles front office prior to him taking the job with the New York Jets as general manager. So he and Peterson have worked together, and by most accounts, they have a strong working relationship. However, many insiders in the media also noted that the Jets are not about to totally change directions on their coaching search. Just because Peterson was fired does not necessarily mean that the Jets are going to stop what they've been doing and go hire him immediately. So I don't understand the freakout over Peterson being fired. People were acting like the Jets were going to drop everything they're doing and go hire him. I also don't understand the freakout because I'm not sure when we decided Doug Peterson is a terrible coach. Now listen, his 2020 season was very bad, but that Eagles franchise is pretty dysfunctional for reasons that go far beyond what Doug Peterson is doing. And the question I kept asking yesterday is, this time a year ago, was anybody saying Doug Peterson was a bad coach? If I told you a year ago that Doug Peterson was available, I think most people would have wanted the Jets to hire him. So I don't understand how you just look at 1 year and suddenly a guy goes from being a pretty good coach to a bad coach. And it sounds like there's a chance Peterson's going to get an interview. It just doesn't sound like the Jets are going to drop everything they're doing and go hire him and just ignore all the other candidates. They're going, you know, it sounds like he may get an interview, and if he is the best candidate, they may go forward. And to me, that's the right process, because it's not like Doug Peterson's a terrible coach. And I mean, I don't care. Like, who cares that he pulled his starters in some meaningless Week 17 game? Like, hearing this over and over, it's such a big topic of discussion. Who cares? The game meant nothing to the Eagles. And it may have been dictated by the front office. And I think the issues with the Eagles go well beyond the coaching staff. In fact, through the years, like, I've had real questions about the way the Eagles have conducted their business. And this is another example of sometimes you have to stick with your opinion. Sometimes you have to trust yourself. Because when the Eagles were operating under the way the Eagles have done some things under Howie Roseman has led me to question them. And I did not stick with what I believed in because I really had questions and I kind of backed off them because, well, first of all, they made me look bad because they won a Super Bowl. So that made me a little bit hesitant to criticize them. But then also in recent years, as I've seen them make a lot of moves that were pretty short-sighted, I've seen smart people who are writers who I trust say that the Eagles knew what they were doing. And I kind of question it. So this is another lesson to me that you have to stick with what you believe in. Because I saw some things the Eagles did in recent years that seemed very short-sighted, that seemed like they could potentially lead them to the point that they're at right now. And their issues go well beyond the coaching staff. And if you followed what Eagles fans had to say yesterday, there seemed to be plenty of people who were upset that the general manager was not going out the door with Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson is a quality coach. He's a proven coach in this league. You know, people have compared it to the hiring of Adam Gase 2 years ago because Gase had just been fired at the point the Jets hired him. That's not a good comparison at all. Gase was a total failure in Miami. Peterson had a successful run. He won a Super Bowl. You know, the other comparison I heard yesterday was people talked about Peterson being Mike McCarthy, where people hype him up because he's got a Super Bowl ring, but the Super Bowl ring obscures some issues with him as a coach. Mike McCarthy, there were questions about him because it wasn't clear how much the Packers winning was due to him and how much it was due to Aaron Rodgers. When the Eagles won the Super Bowl, they did it with their backup quarterback, Nick Foles. Now, if I was sitting here telling you that the Jets have to drop everything, the Jets have to drop everything they're doing, Doug Peterson's the only candidate, he's better than all of these other potential candidates, he's better than all of these coordinators, there's no question about it, then I could see where you would say, well, hey, John, you know, let's look at some of the things that went wrong in Philadelphia. That's not what I'm saying, though. I'm saying that this guy is a capable coach, and I don't think that the level of freakout in the Jets fan base is proportional to what Doug Peterson brings or would not bring to the table. If you want to sit there and tell me that maybe Doug Peterson was a little overhyped over the last few years, I can believe that. If you want to tell me that he's got flaws and list those flaws, I would be happy to hear them, and I probably would agree with some of them. If you want to tell me that he has to take some of the blame for what happened in Philadelphia this year, that this was a really terrible year, again, I agree with that, those statements. I have nothing wrong with them. I am not saying Doug Peterson would be the perfect candidate. I'm not even sure he'd be my number one choice. What I don't understand is the idea that he's just this disastrous hire. Nobody can really explain this to me, why he'd be this catastrophic Gase-level hire. I simply do not think that would be the case. He has flaws. Well, every single coach here who's interviewing with the Jets has some question marks around them. Lots of coordinators who have never been the head coach before. Are you telling me Brian Daboll, who has a very up-and-down history, is an absolute lock? I don't think so. You're telling me Arthur Smith, who has not a ton of experience as an offensive coordinator, is an absolute lock? I mean, none of these guys are locks. These guys all have pros, they have cons, and I think Peterson's another guy who has pros and has cons. And I think part of this is people want history to repeat itself, because over the last 2 years, people have talked about the last time the Jets were in a situation this bad, and it was 95-96. It was heading into the 1997 season, and the Jets had just gotten rid of Rich Kotite. And they brought in Bill Parcells. So everybody wants to bring in Bill Parcells. Well, obviously, if you have a coach like Bill Parcells, a guy you know is going to the Hall of Fame, that would be a no-brainer hire. But the circumstances around the Jets hire, nobody talks about the circumstances that surrounded the Jets hiring Bill Parcells in 1997 and how rare those circumstances were, where you had a guy who was probably the best coach in the NFL, who had just led his team to a Super Bowl, but wanted out and wanted to come to the Jets. He was, because he was unhappy with the situation in New England. That would be something along the lines of like Andy Reid wanting out of Kansas City right now and wanting to come to the Jets. And people also forget how messy that situation was when the Jets tried to hire Parcells, because Parcells was still under contract with New England, and the Patriots were upset about tampering. They were demanding compensation. I mean, there was a point in early 1997, in the winter of 1997, where it looked like the Jets' plan was going to be, because Parcells had 1 year left on his contract, that the Jets were going to hire him as a consultant for 1 year, which would have been the final year of his contract with New England. They would have hired Bill Belichick as the interim head coach for 1 year, and then in year two, 1998, Parcells was going to take over. And eventually the league stepped in and realized that this was crazy, and they worked out a compensation package where the Jets sent a bunch of draft picks to New England and Parcells was able to coach in 1997. But the point is, you know, like, history is not going to repeat itself here. Every single candidate you look to is going to have some question marks. There's no situation where you're going to get the best coach in the NFL who's going to want to come here right now because he's going to want out of his current team. So the questions are not going to be whether you can get a coach like Bill Parcells in 1997. There are questions that all of these candidates are going to need to be answer, and those are some of the questions I'm going to talk about ahead here on the Locked On Jets podcast. We are heading for a great weekend of playoff action, and there's only one place that has you covered: BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON. It's one word with no space, LOCKEDON, to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This is the Locked On Jets podcast here on this Tuesday, talking about the Jets coaching search. And at this point, there are 9 known candidates for the Jets head coaching job who have completed a first round of interviews. Maybe we'll have more candidates interview for the job. Doug Peterson's a guy who could potentially be a candidate, but it sounds like the second round of interviews is going to begin soon, and the schedule for that will also be impacted by the schedules of coaches who are on teams that are still in the playoffs, because the Jets are kind of limited in speaking with those guys until their teams are eliminated. But I wanted to talk about some of the big questions I would have for the 9 candidates that we know of for this job. For Eric Bieniemy, who is the Chiefs offensive coordinator, I think the questions are about how he could build the team away from the Kansas City infrastructure, because if he takes the Jets job, this job is going to be very different from the one he has in Kansas City. Because in Kansas City, it's Andy Reid's offense. We know Bieniemy has a role, and we know that he gets a lot of praise from the Chiefs coaches, from the Chiefs star offensive players, but it's Andy Reid's offense. And not only that, he's working with premium offensive talent in Kansas City. The Jets would be a different situation. The Jets would be a situation where he'd have to work from the ground up, where he would not have star-level talent at all the skill positions, where he would have to pretty much build this thing up, and it would have to be his offense. It would have to be his system. So I think that for Eric Bieniemy, that's the question for him. Those are the questions for him, is that he's going to have to convince the Jets that he can lead a rebuild. The situation in Kansas City where he's essentially the second in command for a ready-built operation, the job is just very different. Now, he is considered the hot coordinator this year. Every year, it seems like there's some guy who gets really, really hyped up. Sometimes these guys turn into good head coaches. Sometimes they don't. Lots of people think that Bieniemy is a great candidate, but you have to acknowledge that these jobs are very, very different. The next candidate is, I believe, the only person the Jets have interviewed so far with head coaching experience, and that's Marvin Lewis, who has been working in college at Arizona State under former Jets head coach Herm Edwards, and he was, of course, the longtime head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know a lot of people are going to point at his playoff losses. You know, playoff record is a funny thing. So many times you see guys who get the reputation for not being able to win big games, and you have that reputation until you actually win big games. So many people have shed that reputation throughout their careers that I'm not convinced that Marvin Lewis could, in his second stop, is going to be unable to win playoff games. But I do have questions about whether he can adapt to the modern game. And this is a question I'd have of anybody who's been a head coach in the NFL since the early 2000s, because the league has changed a lot. And Lewis has been in the league through much of these changes. But I know for guys who have been around for longer, sometimes they're a little bit more resistant to change. They're a little bit more resistant to adapting to new techniques, new schemes, new methods of player training. So I'm just kind of interested to see whether Lewis would be able to adapt to the modern NFL, to the NFL of 2021. And speaking of adapting, I think the next candidate I'm going to talk about, Arthur Smith, who is the Titans offensive coordinator. And this is a guy who, you know, I just don't really have a great feel for. I don't know whether he'd be good. I don't know whether he'd be bad. And that's true of a lot of these candidates, because you're dealing with coordinators here. So there are ultimately going to be questions about whether they'll be able to handle the head job. But Smith is a guy I have more questions for than others, because he's only been a coordinator for 2 years, and he's worked at a lot of low-level jobs prior to that. And listen, I respect anybody who's worked his way up. I mean, Smith started at the very bottom and has worked his way up in a very short time. But I have questions for him, and one of the biggest questions I have for him is whether he's going to have the ability to adjust to his personnel. Because he's really had a very specific, a team that's been built in a very specific way in Tennessee with Derrick Henry, one of the few genuine difference makers at the running back position in this league. And they've kind of built their offense through Derrick Henry. You know, even the passing game, there's a lot of play action where it's based off faking runs to Henry. So my question for Smith, as much as anything, and you know, every coach has their own preferences. You want to build a team around the way a coach wants to play. So maybe the Jets would look to bring in the kind of players Arthur Smith wants to run his system, but that system's not going to be built on day one. And it is awfully tough to build your offense in the NFL around a running back. So my question is the extent to which Arthur Smith can adjust. And I guess ultimately that question comes down to whether Arthur Smith is running his offense in Tennessee because that's what the way he believes football needs to be played, or whether it's just because that's what suits his personnel. And my hope would be if the Jets hired him that it would be the second, and that, you know, this is, he's not necessarily dead set on building his offense around a running back. It's just he has the running back to do it in Tennessee. But I think that's, for me, the question that I would like to see answered from Arthur Smith. As you're aware, the Jets are trying to find the right coach to fix their team. But if you're trying to fix your car, go to rockauto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamp, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professional and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Tuesday, talking about the coaching search and questions that I would have for each candidate that we know about right now. And the next guy I'm going to talk about is a very popular choice, Brian Daboll. And if you look at Daboll's resume, this is a guy who, just based on his resume, probably is ready to be a head coach. He's worked his way up. He's been a position coach. He's been a coordinator a couple times. He's had some good experiences. He's had some bad experiences. And even the failures don't really bother me, because I think failure is part of life and it's a part of coaching. And sometimes as a coach, if you only have success, it doesn't always prepare you to be a head coach, because part of being a head coach means overcoming failure. And so Daboll having some failed past experiences doesn't really bother me. And he's worked in good organizations, he's worked in bad organizations, he's worked in the best organizations. He's worked under Nick Saban at Alabama, under Bill Belichick in New England. He's won championships in both places. He's worked in some terrible organizations. So I think for Daboll, as much as anything, the question would be, what have you learned? I kind of like the fact that he's left New England. I like the fact that he's worked in some bad organizations, because so many times you see these New England guys go somewhere else and they think they can just rebuild the Patriots. They think they can just take the Patriots model and apply it anywhere, and it doesn't work. Every organization is different. So I like the fact that he's left and he's seen, not only has he been at a place where they do things the best, but he's been at some organizations where they don't do things so well. So my questions would be about what he's learned and how he can apply those lessons to other places. I think of former Patriots assistants, a guy like Daboll is somebody who I could see succeeding somewhere else, because he's seen other places. He's seen it work in other places. He's at a place in Buffalo right now where they're doing a good job, but they're not doing things the way the Patriots do them. So it's really, for my question for him is, how do you apply what you've learned? How do you apply the good, the bad? What's your vision for building a team going forward? Now, Jets have interviewed a couple guys with defensive backgrounds. Matt Eberflus of the Colts, Robert Saleh of the 49ers, two defensive coordinators. And I've been very vocal through the years that I don't see any problem with hiring somebody from the defensive side of the ball to run your team. And I don't understand the idea that you can only hire somebody from the offensive side of the ball if you're trying to develop a franchise quarterback. We've seen over and over that that's just not true. we saw it 2 years ago with Lamar. I'm sorry, we saw it last year with Lamar Jackson, who developed into an MVP under John Harbaugh, who was a special teams coach and had a year as a secondary coach. We saw it this year. The aforementioned Brian Daboll working under Sean McDermott, who comes from the defensive side of the ball, as Josh Allen turns into an MVP candidate in Buffalo. But if you come from the defensive side of the ball, you do have to prove yourself. You do have to have a plan, because it's likely the Jets are going to draft a quarterback at number two. And you're going to need to convince us that you have a plan for the quarterback. You're going to have to show that you can bring in the right kind of offensive staff. Now, here's the thing about both Eberflus and Saleh. They come from teams where there's a good pipeline of young talent on the offensive coaching staff. So they both will be able to build a compelling case for their hire, for why they're the right person to help a young quarterback succeed. But that's the question, is will they be able to bring in some of the promising young coaches that they work with right now to run their offense? And if they do, I think it would be a major positive for them. And then finally, you have three candidates, Joe Brady, Brandon Staley, and Aaron Glenn. Brady, the offensive coordinator of the Panthers, Staley, the defensive coordinator of the Rams, and Glenn, the defensive backs coach for the Saints. And these are three inexperienced guys. So I think what they need to prove, they need to show that they are ready to run the entire operation. And one thing I've become convinced of in the NFL when it comes to head coaches, experience really is not everything. You see frequently that some young guy who doesn't have a ton of experience steps in and does a great job. Somebody with a sterling resume doesn't always succeed as head coach. Experience is not everything. Experience is kind of what trains you to get to this point. But there are some people who pick it up immediately. Some people are around an NFL team and they understand exactly the optimal way to run things. And there are guys who are around it for 20 years and just can't figure out the right way to run things. So experience is not everything, but it's a means to an end. Experience means that you're around an NFL team and you're figuring out the right way to operate. So I think what they need to do is prove that they, in spite of their lack of experience, that they understand the way that they would run an NFL franchise. And if they can do that, I think they could be very viable candidates. Anyway, that's all for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. Tomorrow is our weekly mailbag show, so be sure to send in your mailbag questions. I look forward to speaking with you then. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.